Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Well, good evening and welcome. This is Pastor Joe Larson. I'm sitting in this week for Pastor Ernie Sanders, taking a well-deserved vacation. And on the board with us tonight is our good friend, Style.
Hey, good evening.
And we're glad to have some young blood on the working with us old guys. And my co-host tonight is Randy Gay. He is the deacon there at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. Good evening, guys.
Hey, be blessed, no stress. Good to work with you, talk with you tonight.
All right. And Kyle, are you ready to put up with us?
I'm going to do my best.
All right. Okay. We're going to start tonight with title of the what we're doing, and I call it The Highway to Heaven. Several years ago, and I can't remember just when, getting old, psychologist William Marston had asked 3,000 people, "What do you live for?" He was shocked to find that about 94% were simply enduring the present while waiting for the future. They were waiting for something to happen. Some were waiting for their children to grow up and leave home so they could be free or freer. Others were waiting for next year. Some were waiting for a long-dreamed trip. Others, well, they were waiting for tomorrow. I got to thinking, question, is that what some of you are doing? Are you waiting and waiting while time passes by? You see, God has given you today to live and love, laugh, enjoy, work, and serve Him. Each day, if you're a born-again believer, should be received with joy and cherished. Why? Well, guys, if you're saved, you are blessed, and you have a personal relationship with the Lord God Himself. You are part of His living church. He's given you brothers and sisters to work with, to fellowship with, to share your joys, to comfort you in sorrows. All this, plus you are on a marvelous journey with other pilgrims headed for the promised land. God, speaking to us through the prophet Isaiah, gives us the promise of this, of a great mercy to be had in store for His church, His people, the gospel church and all its members. It shall be set up and made to flourish. Isaiah, the gives us a poetic vision of the coming, the gospel church, the living church, the bride of Christ. We see in Isaiah 11:16, "And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people." Who's the remnant? Well, nowadays the remnant is the born-again believers. We're the remnant. We're not the majority. We're the remnant. In Isaiah 40:3, it says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." Randy, I want you to read from Isaiah 35, and I want you to read right now just verse 1.
Sure. The wilderness.
1 and 2. Sorry, 1
sure,
and 2.
Sure. "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly, rejoice even with joy and singing. The joy of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God."
I'm going to do Psalms 96:11-12. "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice." Nature's rejoicing. Now, 35:3, read 35:3 through 35:6.
Sure. "Strengthen ye the weak hands. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of the fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as the hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert."
All right, let's go back and take a look at what's going on here. The wilderness, it can be an analogy for the wilderness of the world, right?
That's correct.
The wilderness of sin. It can be an analogy for several different things, the wilderness that some people have in their heart. "And this wilderness, this wild place, shall be glad. It, the desert is going to blossom and flourish. There's going to be this great change coming. Great change. And we see it says even what? "Let the heavens angels in heaven are rejoicing. Let the earth be glad. Let," it's kind of like the, "let the field be joyful, the trees." Even the wilderness is rejoicing at this. Because what happens? Well, someone's coming. He's coming.
So
the Lord is coming.
The Lord is coming, changing the circumstances for the joy of the presence and the reign of the Lord.
Exactly. "Let them that are of a fearful heart be strong. Fear not." We talked about that last night, didn't we, Randy?
Sure we did.
"Fear not." Many, many times in Scripture, God is telling us, don't be afraid. Don't have that fearful heart. "Behold, your God is there," right?
That's right.
He will what? He will come and save
you. And save you.
His name is Savior. He is coming to save us from what? Eternal death, from damnation.
Sure.
And this waters, notice this waters in the wilderness in Isaiah 35:6.
Sure, it's living waters now.
Break out. Streams in the desert. Now, you got a picture back there. That desert is a desolate place.
That's right.
The only life exists around wells and springs. That's why you're always talking about how important the wells were, that the women would draw water to feed the lambs, the livestock, the sheep, and things. And he's talking about waters breaking out. Well, in the New Testament, we know about the living water, right?
That's right, the living water.
The living water. If you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. You will drink of eternal life. So that's what all this is about. miracles are going to be wrought on both body and soul.
It's like all the negative circumstances and situations are all being flipped to their most positive, we'll say, redemption, if you will.
Right. Well, we know that when man was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, the whole world was cursed. Even the land was cursed.
That's right.
And the land is waiting for the coming of the Lord, you know, for the millennial kingdom, where it will be restored. Now, read 37.
You want me to
35:7.
35:7. Okay, great. The eyes of the blind shall be opened.
No, Isaiah 35:7.
35:7. Oh, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land spring of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes.
This is the rebuilding of the desert, turning from a habitation of only the foulest creatures. Now we'll have grass and reeds and rushes, which means water and life, right?
That's right.
Because the whole thing is giving you a picture about life being the world being restored, nature, man, all of it being restored. I'm going to jump over to John chapter 7. You've got that?
Yes, I do.
John 7, read 7:37 through 39.
37 through 39. And that's chapter 7. Got it. Just flip back. You said 37 through 39? In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified."
Well, we now know, after Resurrection Sunday, Jesus is glorified. Therefore, we can receive what? The indwelling of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit.
Right. And Pentecost has come too. So.
And then Isaiah tells us in chapter 35:8, "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools, shall not enter therein." You want to take a stab on what he's talking about there?
I would say that it's...
Last style, see if he wants to jump in on this one.
I was waiting for the insight.
What kind of highway?
The highway to heaven.
This is the heavenly one.
This is the way to heaven.
The way to heaven, but what is it?
Oh, that's salvation. The way of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the highway to heaven.
Well, the gospel church will be conducted, what, in holiness.
Sure.
That is the true highway to heaven, is the gospel church.
Okay, yeah.
And he put it there because if you go to a gospel church, a Bible-believing church, you hear the word, you know who is the author of all good and perfect things, who gives you the living water, the bread of life.
And he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life."
Yep. And if you accept him then as Savior, you are part of his living church.
You are a lively stone
built upon the cornerstone, and you, the lively stones, rebuild a living church that worships God, and he gives us his indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And while we have that, that is the highway to heaven, because what it says there, we listen to it, and in the verse, "And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean, the unsaved, shall not pass over it." Right?
That's right.
"It shall be for" who? The pilgrims, the wayfaring men. That's a reference to what God calls us pilgrims, right?
That's right.
And the world calls us fools, but those unclean shall not enter therein.
I like the wayfaring men, though fools. So it's pretty much open to it, does, it to anybody, and it doesn't seem that it really requires this, you know, what you call it, erudite, super way. It's open to all men.
All men who want to what? Receive.
That's right.
Receive him. John 15, John chapter 15, I'm going to do two verses.
Okay.
Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, Jesus said, and ordained you, that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever ye shall ask of the, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. And in verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world is going to hate you. Because we're on a different path. We're on this highway to heaven. The world looks at us. They're not happy with us. They don't like us. They have no understanding of what it is to be part of this, beyond this highway to heaven. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they, the people, said, we'll not walk therein. Randy, read Isaiah 39:9-10.
39:9-10. You got it.
You should still be there, I hope.
Well, 35 was where
yeah, we were. Yeah, 35:9-10.
Okay, 9-10. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go upon thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and singing, and sighing shall flee away.
Now we're getting to the, you know, no evil is going to be there. No ravenous beast can take you off that highway. They cannot take your soul. You know, the most dreadful things in those days, walking, the worst thing that, you know, people feared was robber, or, you know, running into a lion that might decide to try and eat you. And he's using this to say, once you're on this highway, the redeemed, we are what? The saved. Only the saved, the redeemed of the Lord, are going to walk on this highway. And there's not going to be anything there that's going to take you off.
And the key word there is everlasting joy.
Everlasting. And sure. Notice, and while you, we shall return and come to Zion with what?
With songs. That's right.
Everlasting joy. Obtain joy, gladness. When you're born again and saved, I've tried to witness when people want to do an invitation. When you become born again, you become a new creature, a new person. I found joy and happiness that I had never known until I was saved.
Amen. The same here. You know something else, too, Pastor Joe, that's really so great about being born again is that I have never found anybody who ever said they were sorry that they did it.
Never, ever. Never. Neither have I.
Yeah.
Because you get changed. It's hard to explain that to people, but the anger, the hatred, the bitterness, whatever was in your soul is gone.
That's right.
You have compassion for others. You have a love that, God says, surpasses all understanding. I mean,
yeah, and I think
I was changed. I was happy, joyful.
The same here, and I think the beauty of it was that it happened in a moment, and you knew it. It happened just in an instant, and you knew it. It's like the weight lifted, the night moved, so to speak.
Well, it took me a long time to understand how it happened.
Yeah.
You confuse some of God confuses some of us. It's like, okay, Lord, what'd you do? What'd you pull here?
Yeah. Right, but something, and every, you know, anybody that's been through it, I always like to say it flipped. Everything flipped, and yep. It did.
We've got 2 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. When he comes again, when you're troubled, rest with us. Jesus said what? Come unto me, all ye who travail and are heavy laden, and I will take away every trouble. No, he said, I will refresh you, strengthen you.
Yeah.
Not take away all the problems in the world, but I will strengthen, refresh, so that you can continue, right?
That's right, and upholds you, he says.
Right. It shall be, well, an appointed way, not a way of sufferance, but a highway, a way that we are directed by God, and we are protected by his divine promise, by his divine warrant. If you're on that highway, you cannot lose your salvation, Jesus tells us. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You're going to be on this highway. This is the King's highway, the King of Kings highway. Now, we can be laywayed, we can be, but we can't be stopped. You know, we can run into some stumbling blocks, but we cannot be stopped. And the waylay is only temporary, all right? And we see, and that go back to that old way, Jeremiah 6, the old ways are the best, the old paths are the best. It is an appropriated way, the way in which God will bring his chosen to himself. That's what the highway is, the way that God is going to bring his chosen people to himself. He's going to bring us to God. He is our intercessor, our intermediate. He will bring us to the Father and say, this now is a child of the kingdom. His sins have been forgiven. He can now, he or she can now stand in your presence, Father, and belong, you know, in the family of God. So the unclean are not going to be able to defile this or stop those of us that are walking on that highway.
You know, and in the old hymn, he gives us the foretaste, if you will, of the glory divine, just like the hymn says.
It is. It is a way by itself, distinguished from the way of the world, for it is a way of separation and nonconformity to this world. We know that 2 Corinthians 6:16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Ye are the temple of the living God. And as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
That's
wherefore,
right.
Come out from among them, the world, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you what into my kingdom. This is what it's all about, that highway to heaven. We have this, our bodies become the temple of the living God. God is going to dwell right within us. He is going to be our God forever and ever and ever. It shall be for those who the Lord has set apart for himself. Psalm 4, verse 3. It shall be reserved for them. The redeemed shall walk there. The satisfaction they take in these ways, the pleasantness, shall be out of the reach of molestation from an evil world. It shall be for those whom the Lord has set apart for himself. The highway is only for you, you living stones, those persons living in Christ Jesus. You know that he is in us and we are in him, and we will be given joy unspeakable. That's why if you're on that highway, you're happy, you're full of joy. Because what? You have the promise of everlasting life, plus you are a changed person, right?
Right, and the great part is that it starts now, or the now whenever you begin your fellowship, your relationship, your indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now you have it, and you know it.
Now, the big key here is those of us who are on this highway, we have a duty. Can you guess what that duty is?
Sure, to make it plain to others how to come on that highway. Too.
Reach out and bring help, bring others onto
the highway,
right?
That's right.
We are to reach out and say, hey, buddy, look where I am. Do you want to come with me? I'm on my pilgrim, on my way to heaven, to eternal life.
And then we get the privilege also of rejoicing with the angels when they enter onto that highway, too.
Well, the angels are waiting at the end of the highway. They probably are watching us on our journey,
right.
But they are cheering for us.
Right.
But if you're on a highway like that with happiness, with joy in your heart, wouldn't you, if you really have that joy and happiness, wouldn't you want others to share it?
You'd want everybody to share it. Everybody.
Amen. You got it.
Everybody.
And I think we're right on time for a break, right? Style?
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all the healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Cross a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. Trusting ever till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory ever till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Oh. Well, welcome back. This is Pastor Joe Larson. This is What's Right, What's Left Radio Ministry. We are the voice of the Christian resistance. I'm filling in this week for Pastor Ernie Sanders on a well-deserved vacation. And Styles on the board tonight, and my co-host Randy Gay. Hey, I've got a question for you guys.
Sure.
Do you know why after you hear Sermon on Church Sunday by Wednesday, do you know how much of that sermon you remember?
I'll bet you it's well under 20%. I'll bet you it is.
I was going to say it's got to be less than 50, right?
It's less than 10.
Okay, now I believe that. Yeah. I figured it was under 20 because some people can't tell you on Monday morning.
Some people can't tell you 2%. They sleep.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the reason I brought that up, that beautiful music, had a mother-in-law that I dearly, dearly love, came down with Alzheimer, and we had her in our home for many years, helping take care of her. She could remember her hymns. She couldn't remember her own name. Sometimes she couldn't remember her children, but she could remember the hymns.
See, that's fantastic.
When you sing, somehow music helps you remember far more than if you just hear something. So the key is, if you want to remember something, if you hear it, if it's sung and you see it, you can remember 40 to 50%. So those hymns, those are what everybody remembers, especially you see the words in the hymnal, you hear it sung. That's why people can remember 40, 50% of what they learn through hymns. And I think that's why Thomas Jefferson, when he moonlighted as superintendent of the Washington, D.C. schools, said they would have the Watts hymnal in school because often, what did the children do? Sang the hymns.
Oh, yeah.
End of story.
And you're right. I think about that because that's how I learned how to spell Ohio and Pennsylvania was in songs.
Can you sing one of them?
Pardon?
Can you sing one of them?
Sure. PENSYLVANIA.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Now you and I have both. All right. I want to start with a very special story, a truth that's been hidden. We've been talking about this transsexual movement. It started quite a while, and we've been trying to tell the truth to people. Well, here is a story, and we've got a clip. Do you have that clip handy, Style?
I've got a couple of them.
The one on the movie about Walter Heyer?
Trans Mafia, I got it right here.
All right, let's play the clip.
And the Biden administration are waging total war on the family. And this is a critical component of their effort to destroy the old order and bring in a new totalitarian global order. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more. Folks, you probably noticed that there is just this total war right now being waged against families, against marriage, against moms, against dads, right? Toxic masculinity. Dads are terrible, evil. They need to be checked, right? The patriarchy is just the most evil thing on this side of eternity. And we see all the different tentacles of the deep state waging this war, right? You've got the governments of the world promoting this, the government education system, the media, the entertainment so-called complex, non-governmental organizations, and of course, the United Nations. They promote divorce, they promote promiscuity, they promote adultery. Now they're openly promoting homosexuality and transgenderism. They're doing this on purpose, and it's all by design. It's not an accident. They understand full well what they are doing. Now, to go back to the very beginning, it was actually God's idea to ordain the family. It's one of the first things that we read about in the Bible. If you go to Genesis chapter 2, right at the very, very beginning, we see that God ordained marriage and family before any other human institution. Right, starting in verse 20 in Genesis chapter 2, it says, "The man gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into woman and brought her to the man. And then he said, 'This is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.'" And God goes on to say in verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." So right there, one of the first things God does is he creates marriage and he creates the family, right? So mother and father produce children. Those children grow up. They are taught and instructed by their parents. And then what? Then the children go off. They find a spouse. right? Man finds a woman, woman finds a man, and they will cleave to each other. And
all right, we can hear from that a couple of things. God ordained male and female, made them he, him, right? Male and female. He didn't make 38 different varieties. He made two. He made the family the basis of everything in the world. That was the first thing he made, was the family. Now, there's a new movie out there, and this is a heartbreaking, gut-wrenching story. And it's a story of a man who tried to become a transsexual woman. The ex-transsexual, Walter Heyer, lived as a woman for years, and now is warning others on the futility and danger of trying to change to the opposite sex. And this comes from the Daily Signal. It's also found in World News Daily, several other places. Now, here's the story in a nutshell. He was cross-dressed by his grandmother as a child. She secretly dressed him in dresses and frilly things when he was little. And I guess he was with her a lot. And then as he was found out by his uncle while he was being dressed, he was sexually abused by the uncle. That left him very confused and hurting. Walt Heyer sought to become a woman. You see, as a young man, he underwent attempted gender reassignment surgery. He lived as a trans-identifying woman for 8 years and ultimately detransitioned. He's now 83, and he has spent the last few decades. I didn't know about this man. I wish I had years ago. He spent a couple of decades offering support to men and women who also have been taught to believe that they were born in the wrong body. He's written a number of books that answered thousands of letters from individuals, mostly men, who seek his help. And now he's partnering with Ascend Picture Productions, to produce a movie about his story, and it's tentatively titled, Who Am I? The movie will pose the question, Heyer says, who do we think we are? There's been nothing like it, he said in a telephone interview. It's a powerful movie. And he knows his story has already inspired many people, and he thinks it should be shared. You see, he was just 4 when his grandmother started to secretly, you know, dress him. And he said the attention and the affirmation, well, made this little 4-year-old boy feel special. But he said this would become his mustard seed of torment. Mustard seed, you know, the little mustard seed
that grows into the biggest herb that there is.
You're right, the largest herb.
Right.
So she planted the seeds of his demise by what she did to him. The dress, he said in his film website, the dress also became a source of his turmoil once his parents found out about the secret. His father's spanking became more and more intense and led to his being sexually abused by his uncle. So this, he started believing that maybe he should have been born a girl. So he sought these treatments that promised him relief, but those treatments led only to the destruction of his marriage, his family, his career. And the movie explores his journey. They're working on this movie. They need money. I'll get to that in a minute. But here's the key. His journey, which includes his ultimate discovery of his Christian faith and the road back to redemption and forgiveness. He found Jesus Christ, but late in life, and got himself on that highway to heaven, the road to redemption.
You know, Joe, I'm going to make a confession to you. I've heard him speak.
You've heard him speak.
I have heard him speak, and that
and
was
you
years
told
ago.
Me about him?
Pardon?
You haven't told me about him. You're fired.
Okay. Hey, are you going to cut my pay? You're cutting my pay.
I'm going to cut your pay. Just like mine. We have to have a little humor. This is such a serious thing. But this man, his whole life ruined. I mean, he went through the suffering, the torment, and he found Jesus Christ.
If I'm not mistaken, he also found a life's partner in a woman after all of this, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure.
Doesn't mention it here.
Yeah, you know, I know, that's what I'm saying. You didn't, but I remember, it's like once you started to talk, I knew what you were going to say next. And I said, so this, and I had forgotten the guy's name, and I think his, the hire, once you said his name, but I have heard this guy speak. I knew about the books and the whole bit. And, you know, and now I can't think of, and I know it was on, he was, he spoke a couple nights in a row on one, on probably some religious broadcast that I listened to, and I listened to too many of them. Well, I, there's probably no such thing, but you know what I mean.
Right.
I listened to so many.
His name is Walt Heyer,
yeah.
H-E-Y-E-R.
Yeah.
And you can look him up, and this Ascend Pictures is working with him to put out this new movie. They don't have it done yet. They're trying to crowdfund to get the money to put the movie, because he said, you know, I don't want to sound preachy, but he said, we want to appeal to people who don't know Jesus, and I think my story will, because it ends, it has a happy ending. He finally realized who he was, a child of God, that God didn't make something wrong. It was sin that messed him up. Jesus didn't create the sin. Jesus made him just fine. It was people in his life that did this evil to him. And he wants his viewers to understand that these issues he was was a key word, dealing with, these are the issues others are trying, you know, who try to transition are experiencing. And he said they go so much deeper than gender. He said gender therapists are not able to help individuals struggling in this way. It takes what? Probably a good Christian pastor, a Christian brother and sister to understand and lead him. You see, what they did, it was real quick. They said, oh, well, you sound like you need trans, you know, to be a transsexual.
Well,
you really were a girl. And he said from the very beginning, they started pushing it. Oh, that's the answer to everything. They didn't really look at the root of his problem, why he thought he should be a girl. He said they didn't even go there. They just automatically, when he went in for counseling, started telling him, this is what you've got to do to get better.
At the Right to Life conference a month ago, there was a young woman there who was about the age of 20 who had the same thing. And she had brothers and basically tomboy, you know, because she had older brothers, no sisters. And a long story short, the parents didn't know what to do with her. And when they went to counseling, they were counseled in this manner. That we've got to listen to her, because if you try to break her from this, then she's going to commit suicide. So
that's the line they use.
That's the line they use, and that's what I'm saying. Is it so? You know, like I said, and I mentioned this, I think, on the program not that long ago. But the thing that also comes to mind when you talk about this, what you said, Walt Heyer, is Joel chapter 2. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten and the palmer worm. And I'm looking for it right now. But
while you're looking, I wonder, they use this threat that your child's going to commit suicide.
Yeah.
More children commit suicide after they've gone through the, or far into the transition process, or have been totally transformed. There is a higher rate of suicide than the one that haven't gone through it. And most of these cases all over Europe now, they're finding out that the psychologists didn't get it right, that it was deeper problems. They rushed into, you know, the sexual transition when the problems were sometimes just, well, I'm gay, and, well, maybe, you know, if I transition to a girl or to a boy, you know, it covers up their homosexual tendencies. And so much of this, and then what, 85-90% of the children that are confused, if you leave them alone, by the time they're 18, they have it all figured out, they're happy, and it all goes away. But what happens is other people jump in, try and give advice, counseling, and it's usually earthly counseling, it's psychological counseling.
Don't forget the puberty blockers, and the side effects of those drugs.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, instead of, these children never really have the problem dealt with. People don't take the time to go through and find out what's causing you to feel this way. And often, if there were real professional help, they would find out, no, I don't need the sexual transition. I need to accept the fact that maybe I have the same-sex attraction. And that's something that can be dealt with. It's in Scripture. You can deal with it. There's a biblical way to deal with it. But here's the thing I want to make sure everybody hears. I want you to get a paper and pencil pen. If you're like me, I write on the back of an envelope or bills or whatever I have handy. The movie is going to need financial support, and Hire is encouraging supporters to visit the Prospective Films website where they can sign up for updates, and here's where you go. And if you're able, donate. I think this would be a very needed movie out there. There are so many young people whose lives are being destroyed or seeing child abuse on a massive scale. I did a report, at least in my, I've read so many articles, I can't remember what I've done on the radio, what I've read, but there, it started out slow, and then because of peer pressure, one girl, there was one school where one girl said she wanted to become a boy, all of a sudden six of her best friends all were going to decide that they were all the wrong sex and all wanted to transition into boys. There's a social pressure, group pressure, everything. All of a sudden, we've got thousands of children thinking they're in the wrong body.
Right.
And it's wrong, wrong. So here it is. You know, that HTTPS, you know, dot, dot, forward slash, forward slash. It's real simple. The movie, whoami.com.
So just who am I?
Movie, whoami.com. And what's the answer supposed to be? I'm a child of the king. That was what Hyatt didn't understand. I'm a child of the king. So they're asking for support, and I think his message, Walt Hyatt, I think it getting that movie out would be one of the best things that a Christian can do, and I'm going to see what I can do to help, and if they get a movie, I think we all ought to be showing it at every church we can. Yeah, anyway, do you have any comment to add on that? I just think this is so important. I wanted to do it number one story.
And I think it deserved that. Thank you.
Oh, good. Hey, I've got a joke for you. Well, not a joke, something humorous.
Sure.
You know who Madonna is, the... kind of horror.
Yeah, well, yeah, we know. Yeah.
Material girl, blah, blah. Anyway, here's the headline. I didn't read it. I just read the headline and laughed. Apparently, Madonna's being sued, was sued in January for her opening at some kind of Brooklyn Barclays Center. And she was late for the concert, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's being sued. So she fires back at the concert lawsuit, claims no Madonna fan would expect her to take the stage at the ticketed time. My fans wouldn't expect me to be on time, to, you know, show up when I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to. I thought, oh, you sick puppy. You know? Yeah, that's that inflated ego that I am so marvelous. People just adore me. My fans love me. Barf. Anyway, I had to laugh at that one. Like, yeah, you're so big and wonderful that you can show up whenever you want to. And
the sad part is that I wonder how many people bought it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure there's some out there.
That's what I'm saying. You know they did. You know somebody.
Oh, we got, yeah. Well, do you remember several years ago I introduced this? They had the celebrity psychologist came up with celebrity worship syndrome. And what happened, they found out people were spending their time, their talent, their treasure, worshiping, following celebrities. And I'm thinking, our time, our talent, our treasure should be given to the Creator, God, who
That's
made
right.
us, who saved us, who's blessed us. But we, this huge thing, a huge percent of the population spends their money, their time, they're, you know, following some movie star, and most of these stars are on drugs, alcoholics, having multiple partners. One guy who's, you know, fathered seven different children by six different women, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And this world has that celebrity syndrome. And I noticed it came out, and then we started putting it out about the syndrome. And all of a sudden, it kind of the story went away in the news, like somebody didn't want everybody to hear that.
Yeah.
It's probably because some crazy fundamental Baptist preacher started talking about it, saying, hey, that's how you ought to behave with your Lord and Savior, not some stupid Hollywood starlet that's half naked all the time, you know?
That's right.
Something like that. Anyway, we've got a couple of minutes. How many minutes before the break?
Coming up on three.
Coming up on three. Okay. Need something short. Do you have anything short?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now, like something that's like one page. You know what? I do have something short. The Biden administration is looking at an award and a contract to the Northrop Grumman company to, one, they're asking to create a time zone in the moon and to put a railroad on the moon with the the idea obviously is to have a partner, have partners up there, and have an economy up there. And I just wonder what the time zone on the moon would be. And then we'd have we'd have Eastern, we'd have Central, Rocky Mountain, and then let's call it lunar. And then the clock, and any clock up there would be a lunar tick.
Yeah, well, you know, it's so funny. We were there a long time ago. We gave it up, and then when we found out that the Chinese, even the North Koreans, everybody's getting into it, it was like, hey, guys, we better get back in space because, you know, like certain people tried to say, if we don't control space, the Chinese will, somebody else will. Who controls space will control, really, any war that goes on in this earth.
But to me, you talk about a waste of money. There's just two things that nobody's thinking about, and that's it. I hope you like not drinking water or breathing air.
Well, you're going to have to live in an environment where, of course, in a capsule, you make your own oxygen and, you know, grow your own food and all that kind of happy stuff. They've been talking about that for years. Yeah, I don't have anything against spending money on research, going to the moon to mine the moon or find precious things we need. But, you know, the time zone, they've already got the time figured out. NASA has it because they couldn't do their sending the space vehicles to the moon and back if they didn't have the time figured out, right? All you got to do is give it a name. That can't be that hard. Can't take that much money to say, okay, here's the time zone on the moon. Somebody at NASA could give it to you in 5 minutes. Buy them a cup of coffee, you know.
Yeah, that's
can't be
true.
That complicated.
What do you say? Do you say about 10 seconds now? 1 minute, okay.
All right, we got a whole minute.
You know what? I'll tell you what. Let me do this again real quick about the Mike Gallagher resigning. And this is just for those of you that missed it the other night, as you well know, the margin in the House is down to one seat. And we're asking before Mike Gallagher resigns, well, that's if he resigns, if you could call his phone in Washington, D.C. at 202-225-5665 and basically express your displeasure and ask the guy not to resign because we need him. Okay.
We need him. He didn't resign.
He hasn't done it yet.
Soon enough that they could get a replacement for him. And that's the big, they couldn't hold an election to get a replacement.
That's right.
Well, that is the big problem. And that's why, you know, we need him to stay.
Okay. So we'll be right back then in 3 seconds. All right.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.